Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Asam muhurta ekasmin nanagareshu yoshitam savidham jagrihe panin anarupas svamayaya asam muhurta ekasmin nanagareshu yoshitam savidham jagrihe panin anurupasvamayaya asam muhurta ekasmin nanagareshu yoshitam savidham jagrihe panin anurupasvamayaya asam muhurta ekasmin nanagareshu yoshitam savidham jagrihe panin anurupasvamayaya asam all those muhurte at one time ekasmin simultaneously nana agareshu in different compartments yoshitam of the women savidham with perfect rituals jagrihe accepted panin hands anurupaha exactly to match svamayaya by his internal potency. Translation. There in the house of the demon, all the princesses kidnapped by Narakasura at once became alert upon seeing the Lord, the friend of the distressed. They looked upon him with eagerness, joy, and shyness, and offered to be his wives. All those princesses were lodged in different apartments, and the Lord simultaneously assumed different bodily expansions, exactly matching each and every princess. He accepted their hands and perfect rituals by his internal potency. Purport. You have a book? Try chapter 3. Purport. Narakasura kidnapped many daughters of great kings and kept them imprisoned in his palace. But when he was killed by the Lord and the Lord entered the house of the demon, all the princesses were enlivened with joy and offered to become his wives because the Lord is the only friend of the distressed. Unless the Lord accepted him, there would be no chance of their being married because the demon kidnapped them from their father's custody, and therefore no one would agree to marry them. According to Vedic society, girls are transferred from the custody of the father to the custody of the husband. Since these princes had already been taken away from the custody of their fathers, it would have been difficult for them to have any husband other than the Lord himself. In the Brahma Samhita 533, the Lord is described as follows in regard to his innumerable plenary expansions. Advaityam achutyam anadi manantarupam adyam purana purusham navayovanam cha Vedeshu durlabham adurlabham atma bhaktau govindamadi purusham tamahang bhajami. The Lord, Govinda, whom I worship, is the original personality of Godhead. He is non-different from his innumerable plenary expansions, who are all infallible, original, and unlimited. and who have eternal forms. Although he is primeval, the oldest personality, he is always fresh and young. By his internal potency, the Lord can expand himself into various personalities of Swayam Prakash, and again into Prabhav and Vaibhav forms. And all of them are non-different from one another. The forms into which the Lord expanded to marry the princes in different apartments were all slightly different just to match each and every one of them. They are called Vaibhav Vilas, forms of the Lord, and are affected by his internal potency, Yoga Maya. So the Lord here then is expanding to match all these girls, these various girls that were there, 16,100 of them. So we see that he is taking on different forms. The main form, of course, is Swayam, where he looks exactly the same. It's not a different form. But then within that, that's refined into this Vaibhav. Because tendency is we'll take it as, you know, okay, there's Swayam Prakash, there's Vaibhav Prakash, there's Vilas, all these different things. And then, you know, we make them into these nice clean boxes. But as we see in the material world, there is no such thing as a clean box. It doesn't exist. Even we say the box stands on its own, but it actually does it. You have a box in your room. Any old box could be there, or the box has to match the room. Or you might build the room around the box. But in any case, that's going to be matcher. And then for how you're going to use that box, it's also going to be situated. Does that make sense? If it's decoration, it'll be out in view. If it's holding valuables, then it'll be put away. Right? Does that make some sense? So there's no such thing, even in a box, of a clean box. The box is affected by everything around it. There's no such thing as this, just that. Everything is always a mix. Always. Because we see if it's not mixed, it's not nice. Right? You take water, purified of every absolute thing in it, and it tastes terrible. Pure, okay, you don't get sick, at least according to some. And like that. But it's what's in the water that gives it a flavor. The different minerals, the different this, the different that. So everything being mixed is actually what gives it its interest. So here, the Lord has the one form, but then depending on what is the situation, then he manifests various aspects of even that same form. So this example here is perfect. We'll know the same example is there with the gopis. It's Braja Krishna there, so it's not a different form, but the mood with each gopi will be different. So that means it's a slightly different manifestation. Because a personality is a manifestation. Right? A form is a major manifestation, but within that, then it's refined with the devotees through these personality differences. Does that make some sense? So that's why Prabhupada makes the point, it don't make so much difference between Krishna in Vrindavan and Krishna in Vaikuntha. It's the same person. But the manifestation of the personality will be slightly different. That's what actually makes the difference, is the personality. So here, Krishna then to reciprocate with his devotees, he takes this on. This is where this comes from. Very important. Krishna is adjusting for the devotee. It's not that the devotee is not qualified, not that the devotee is not doing something. If that's not there, it won't happen. Right? But Krishna's adjusting for the devotee. Very important to note. Right? It doesn't say that these girls now adjusted for Krishna's personality. No, it says Krishna adjusted for theirs. He's God. Right? I mean, here we're all working hard at it, but we're not doing a great job. So that means the masculine principle is just for the female's mentality. Believe it or not, but here it is, right here. Hard print. Right? 11-point type, bold. I think it's Balaram print. I mean, the font. Right there. And then, amazingly enough, in 11-point, in normal, in the same font, Prabhupada's purports confirms the same thing. So, this is Krishna. Is that for rasa? We have to remember that you have tattva rasa. So for tattva, yes, he is the Supreme Lord, one without a second. But if we're going to take it, he's going to enjoy rasa, which is an increase in the platform of existence, right? He exists, therefore he can enjoy, right? But enjoyment then is added to existence. It's something more. So to do that, then who will be his equal, right? Rasa can only be with equals, right? Prabhupada mentions that that two different species actually don't have rasa, right? There's some interaction, there may be some appreciation, but it doesn't. There's not actually rasa beyond that, right? Because it doesn't have that communication, it's not full. So friends are the ones who can have rasa. That means there's equal. So how do you take unlimited beyond spiritual, right? Prabhupada makes that point. Is spiritual is what we know. We're spiritual, the internal potency is spiritual, yoga maya is spiritual, the spiritual realm is spiritual, but it's come from Krishna. That means he's beyond spiritual. He's something different. Right? Here, spiritual, we mean not material, right? We take it from our vantage point because we're conditioned. Therefore, getting out of the material world being very important, therefore we use the term transcendental, right? Transcendental to the material world. So Krishna is transcendental, but he's beyond spiritual. So he's in another category. We can't understand it. We don't have entrance into it, but we know it's there. So Krishna is something of then how he's going to have rasa with anybody, right? Of course, you can say that, you know, everybody else is him anyway. So there's that, but very minor, small. Some portion. Full Radharani, she's full whatever he is, but it's still his energy. It's not energetic. Right? So that means he has to make the adjustment to make the equality. Does that make sense? Do we understand the technicality here? Right? That's there. We're saying this just so the intelligence is satisfied because the mind might not be. Right? So we correct the mind by the intelligence. So here we're saying in a relationship that the senior adjusts for the junior in this case when you're actually running rasa. Training, of course, the junior adjusts for the senior. Because you're trying to learn and emulate and become like that. But in actual operation of relationship, the senior adjusts to the junior. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Right? Okay. So these are, you know, seemingly hidden truths, right? And the amazing thing is they were there before the ones hidden in Egypt were dug up. So, here we see then in detail that Krishna, that these girls, then they became alert, right? So, becoming alert. Now, you've been kidnapped by this demon, so that means your position in society is finished. So, position being important, it's one of the opulences. So then, it's not replaced by something, right? You can replace fame, wealth, power, and beauty by knowledge and renunciation, right? You can have the one, I'm the greatest, I'm the biggest, I'm the best, and or the same thing, but it's the opposite. I renounce all this in those spheres, and I take it up in this opposite sphere. But it's still complete in itself. Right? But if the renunciation is not there and you remove the opulence, the other opulences, then there's no position. Right? So these girls are naturally not going to be very enthused. So with Krishna coming, then that opportunity to again refresh the life becomes a possibility. Because no one else can marry them, but Krishna can. Right? He's beyond all these things. He's beyond the rules. He's beyond all these. So he could marry them. And being attracted to God, one is in one's pure state. Right? And in that pure state, then marriage is allowed. Right? Does that make sense? In the Vedic concept, it's because the girl is pure, therefore she can have the Vedic marriage. Technically speaking, a Vedic marriage can't be done for anyone other than a virgin. That's the rule. If they're not a virgin, then a portion of it means the essential parts of it are done. The actual marriage elements are done, but nothing else. All the side little things and this and that, those are all dropped. So, but now these girls technically have been stolen by this Narakasura, and we see in the next verse it says, it goes to the point of saying, in perfect ritual, that means complete. Because otherwise, how would he marry these girls who have been stolen by another person? Right? Because their purity has been attained by their full absorption in him. So then they're in that same state of purity. So then there's equality, then there is the full ritual. Does it make sense? This shows the power of Krishna consciousness. So that's how we're performing these rites, even though it's not necessarily that the girls, this is their first time around. Right? Because of their Krishna consciousness. But in that, just a side point, still one has to be careful of the conditioned nature. One shouldn't say, because we're devotees, we don't care for the rules. That's fine, as long as you are a devotee. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes a devotee as someone on the platform of prema bhakti. That's the definition. Everybody else that's not on that platform is a sadhaka. Even an uttamadhikari is a sadhaka. Above sadhaka, way beyond our platform, right? They're doing their sadhana in their spiritual body. But sadhana nonetheless. So devotee means prema. So we should be very careful about bantering about that phrase, oh, we're devotees, we don't care, we're beyond. Beyond starts at liberation, Brahma-Bhuta. And then it goes up from there, right? And then it's attained reality at prema. Then you can say you're beyond, because you still can fall back into material consciousness, even from the platform of bhava, right? Example being Jarabharat. So then, Jarabharat's previous, okay, Bharat Maharaj. Does this make some sense? So these are where we go back and forth, how we use tattva and rasa. Tattva is to make it very clear so that the attitude is correct. Rasa is then how proper relationships will go on based on proper attitude, right? If the attitude is correct, the tattva is not very important, right? The parent is the senior, the child is the junior. The child doesn't finish lunch, the parent eats it. So is that correct by tattva? Here you have the all-powerful, completely in control, the last word in anything to do with a kid's life, right? Except for like breathing or passing stool, like that. So, but other than that, absolute dictatorial control beyond any other relationship, right? Master and servant, even people might bring it up as issues. But parents, no, it's beyond. Absolute Machiavellian dictatorial rule. But when you apply it in rasa, It's exactly the opposite. The kid is the one in control, and the parent is the one running around. You know, it's not that, okay, Junior, today at 9:03, I can work in your diapers, so, you know, let's keep it together, right? No, it's when the diapers happen, that's when the diapers are changed, right? So that's the whole point, what's in control. So then we see that in here, the tattva is not as important if rasa is attained. If it's not, then you go back to tattva to figure out what's not working here. Right? So here, then these girls, it's working out. So then everything's being done by the ritual because the mentality is right, is correct. But now, if we just take that and apply it, we have to remember the conditioned nature. Why is it like that? Because of the nature of the girl, then that idealism of being with the boys is something special. It means something. Girls, that's all there is. Boys, they do have this peculiar element, ununderstandable to women, that they can just be with girls just to be with them for fun. Like you could play a video game, or you could go out for a drive on your bike. You could also just be with a girl. Makes no sense. But it can happen, because the man can go back into a state of existence only, without dynamic rasa. Girls can't. Therefore, the boys may go out and play around, and they'll survive. But the girls go out and play around, they will not survive. You can also put that in 12-point bold, in whatever font you like. They won't survive. And unless they are liberated, the conditioning of having been let down by someone will remain for them. And any girl at any place on the planet, no matter what their age, you can ask them, of all the boys they've been with, if they can remember the first one, that one's very vivid. And after that, it just starts getting cloudier and cloudier. So that's the point. So in the Vedic society, it's not that they're restrictive on women, down on women. They're actually trying to help them and support them to keep from getting emotionally destroyed, which the Western culture couldn't care less if they do. Therefore, one can take the stand of liberality if one is foolish enough, but never in taking it ever say that the Vedic culture actually isn't better. Isn't more liberal. Liberal means being gracious upon someone. That's actually what it means. Liberal doesn't mean being stupidly not having a standard and therefore whichever way is the wind blowing, allowing it to happen. That's not the definition of liberal. Liberal means you're trying to do something for someone else's good. The person, he's a very wealthy, powerful person, but he's very liberal. It means he's giving a lot of charity. He's trying to help people. He's, you know, being kind to, you know, his subordinates. That's liberal. That's the actual definition. It may not be how it's used nowadays because of the political content. I mean, connotation. But that's what liberal is. So the Vedic culture is the most liberal to women. Why would it be? Because God interacts with women. That's all there is in the universe other than Him. All energy is feminine. So that means that's all He deals with. Other than himself. Okay, when he deals with Balaram or, you know, like that, then. But other than Balaram, all he's got to deal with is women. Even though they're in male forms. So, his consideration is his devotee. Right? Durvasa Muni came running to Vishnu. He could have said, oh yes, okay, now that you've understood the correct, proper mentality and the rules and all that, now I give you forgiveness. No, he didn't say that. He says, I can do nothing. It's got to do with your devotee. I'm connected to my devotees. You insult them, you insult me. You correct it with them, you correct it with me. I am not independent. Therefore then, Durvasa had to then run back to the earth planet and surrender to Ambarish Maharaj. Then only it worked out. Right? So that's how Krishna works. So therefore it is considered, but in its correct context. This doesn't mean everything has its perfect balance. Right? Because the freedom is here, the adjustment is here, but it's within the existence of the masculine. It's not outside the existence of the masculine. Right? Krishna is there. It's not outside that. What? Ambarish Maharaj is a pure devotee. Yes. 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 Thank you. So then, it's what Krishna has established. Right? Then the devotees function. He's established Vrindavan. He's established the rasas. The devotees work within that. So we see the balance? The male sets the field, but how the field is run, the adjustments have, that's the female. So the balance is there. It's not all one-sided. You want one-sided, that means it's not a relationship. It means it's only existence. And in existence, that's Atmarama. And in Atmarama, there's no need of interaction. So if you're interacting, then it has to be in rasa, not Atmarama. And if it's in rasa, then it has to be considered this dynamism between energy and energetic. If you don't want to consider it, you just want to say all there is energetic, then that's fine. But that's called Atmarama. And that means there is an interaction. Does that make sense? It's only the confusion that we want to be God when we're not. As feminine, we can't not have relationship, right? Like we mentioned before. Man can just exist. Woman can't relate to that because Krishna just exists. Then he expands for rasa. When he expands, we can relate to that because we've been expanded due to rasa, right? Therefore, that's all we can relate to. So in the same way as in our trying to be God, we're still trying to be God, that independent Atmarama by rasa. So that's why there's trouble. That's why it doesn't work. So it has to be interactive. Make sense? So Krishna has done that here. So then with eagerness, joy, shyness, these are the natural qualities. Like that. Excitement means that it'll bring joy. Joy is pleasure. Pleasure is based on excitement. This is an important point to note. Excitement and pleasure are two different things. Excitement is the prospect of something, interaction happening. Having established in a relationship, one becomes excited at the prospect of what you can gain from it. But it's the interaction of the relationship that creates the pleasure or the joy. Right? Joy is more close, intimate, interactive. It's not bubbly and all that. That's excitement. Sometimes people wonder, well, what happened to the excitement? What happened to that? That's going to go anyway. That is a symptom that there's a relationship has come on the horizon. You have the relationship, the excitement doesn't need to be there. Then you're dealing with pleasure. Excitement happens. That comes from you. You see a relationship. You see the existence of a relationship. It comes up. Right? Just like there's happiness in the state of Atmarama. Right? But it's only when you operate it, then that pleasure will come. So that means you have to work at pleasure. Right? Otherwise you say, before they were so excited, so happy. I was doing absolutely nothing. I was just existing. And it was so nice. Where is that gone? Oh, it's changed. Oh, after marriage you've changed. Yes, because now you have to run it. You have to make it happen. Abhideya means work. It doesn't mean sitting there. It means work. So therefore, without work, pleasure doesn't come. Then we see shyness. That's the natural platform from which you're playing. That's the stage. Because if it is so aggressive, what happens if there's two aggressive persons? Right? Does it work? Or two shy persons? It doesn't work. One's aggressive, one's shy. That's how it works. The shy person wants to do, but they don't do. So they're happy when the aggressive person does. Does that make sense? They're both aggressive, how it'll work?
Chivalry will come up,
yes, and that's also a taste. But it's a subtaste of another relationship, of friendship, of parental love. Does that make sense? It doesn't stand on its own. It's not a sty bhav. It's not a fixed eternal rasa. Right? The gopis are not in chivalry ras. Right? They're in conjugal. Right? Then they can have chivalry as they fight over some, you know, whose forest it belongs to, or who's paying tax or not, or things. Then they can bring that out. But it's on base on top of the other. Like you put the butter on the bread. You don't just butter the air and then take a bite. No, it has to go on bread. Otherwise, it doesn't mean anything. Right? So then, here is then, that shyness means, that's the natural inherent quality of the female that makes it work. If the girl is not shy, then how the boy will be masculine? So if the women wonder, how come there's no men anymore? Here's your answer. Women, a shy woman is the only one who can get a man. And a man who's willing to protect and take care is the only one who'll get a shy woman. Because the point is if there's aggression, that means the man to match that has to be shy. It's just the way it works. That's rasa. If you push something, you have two objects, and you push one with the other, it goes the opposite direction. Even Newton figured this one out. Right? And if it goes back the other way, it goes the same. It's just the way it works, right? So that's how things function. Definition of shyness. Definition of shyness would be the desire for, but the inability to, express one's desires or needs. Okay? That's how. Okay? So it's expected it will be going. That's why there's subtleties, nuances. Right? So the man who can understand them is able to function because that shyness is there. So we see is that these girls, then it's come out. So even the demon kept them in this state. Right? He's stolen all these girls. He wants to enjoy his girls, but he's kept them in that state. He's protected them. It says here they in different rooms. Right? Different rooms he gave. So that means 16,108 girls, 16,108 rooms. He didn't bunk them up. Right? It's not university here. Right? They each had their own room. Right? Otherwise, one could say, no, but it doesn't say exactly room. Maybe they were dormitories, right? Maybe there were 10 girls a room. But then how could Krishna manifest a different personality for each girl if they're in the same room? That's not allowed. But one girl gets, the other one has to get exactly the same. So just by that, you know they had to have different rooms. Otherwise, how could Krishna manifest a different form with a different mood for each girl? Right? So that's the consideration. That's how it works. Okay. Okay. So these things are here because it's a science beyond whatever goes on outside of the Vedic culture. It is the original science. It is complete, but it's a matter of understanding what's there. Just like you could say the children having, the parents are out of the house and the child having gotten, you know, found a box of jewels and is playing with it other friends. And the child can say, this is not worthwhile. It's not valuable. I can't eat it. Right? I can't bang nails into the floor with it. But it's pretty good for scratching the varnish or the glass. So that's one good thing about it. But other than that, then what can you do with it? They're too big. They don't fit on your fingers. You can maybe put it on your toe like that. You know, it's fun. Stick it on your nose for a second. It falls off. And so it doesn't have much value. But can we say that children really know the value of the jewels? So can we say that those who aren't trained in the Vedic culture can actually make a comment that it's valuable or not? Right? If a Kshatriya before a Brahmin is considered a child, a 90-year-old Kshatriya, 90 years old, anybody who's 90 years old is respected by everyone in the society, right? You don't have to wait till you're 100 to get a letter from the queen. In the Vedic society, you get it at 90, right? Anyone who's 90, no matter what the varna or ashram, they're considered respectable in society. And because the amount of understanding and realization they have on life is much greater than anyone else, right? You know, it's like I had heard from one friend, an example as he had heard from another authority, is that, you know, at 90 years old, that basically your mentality is you have one foot in the grave and the other foot on a banana peel. So you just know at any moment you can go. So their view on life is very different. So their opinion is very valuable, as long as they're, you know, in a good state of mind, right? So a 90-year-old Kshatriya and a 10-year-old Brahmin are like father and son, very clearly. The Brahmin being the father. So now, so that's someone who's qualified, trained in the Vedic culture. Let alone Vaishya automatically, Shudra, how about someone who's outside Varnashram? Who's not even trained at all? At least the Shudras associate with those who are trained, therefore they take on those qualities. Right? How would in the long term the Shudra be born as a Brahmin, Kshatriya, or Vaishya unless he has picked up those qualities by that association? So that means even they're following. Right? So if someone's outside that, then how much junior they would be? Right? Of course, a bunch of kids get together and they have a big society and someone's in charge, right? But that doesn't mean it's still not a child society. So the non-Vedic culture is still a society of children as far as knowledge goes and actual understanding of how things function. They may be adults by maturity, experience, this and that. That's there. But actually in what they know and understand is still that of a child. Right? So that's why then this science has been given for the benefit of everybody. If it's understood, then it goes way beyond. It takes care of everybody because it knows exactly what everybody needs. Krishna has expanded everybody, therefore he knows what everybody needs. A Brahmin, his knowledge has to be respected. But if he's not respected, it doesn't really matter for him. Therefore, they forgive this and that. It'll be an offense for someone else, but it's not his problem. But a Kshatriya, because of the passion, can't. So therefore, they're always dealt with in that way. So even the Brahmin is respectful to the Kshatriya. And it may appear that he's junior, but no, that's because that's what the Kshatriya requires. Right? The Vaishya is as good as his money. He has to be recognized for that. Even though it's a total attitude, he thinks he owns the world because of it, and so many things. He gives you charity, he thinks he owns you. So many weaknesses there. But it must be recognized because opulence, money, wealth is one of Krishna's opulence. And these people are the embodiment of that. So that element has to be respected. So when it comes to money, Brahmins and Kshatriyas ask Vaishyas what to do. Right? They don't say, this is what you know. They can tell him what he should do as far as sadhana, or as far as social duties, but not when it comes to money. Right? Like that. Of course, they can encourage him to pay his tax. That's there. But the tax, that's set by God. So, as long as we didn't lose the thread here. So basically what we're seeing is that this consideration, this is what makes it special. Krishna is independent. He's sense-controlled. And sensitive means he deals with the person according to their relationship with him. Right? So that's time, place, and circumstance. That's dealing. Perfect dealing means according to time, place, and circumstance, means you're sensitive to all those things. What is the need of the other persons in this? Not just what's good for me. Right? Otherwise, that's not rasa. Right? Rasa means what's good for me and what's good for the other, and then what is the natural compromise. Not my idea of compromise. The natural compromise. So natural you generally see is 50-50. Right? Unless there's something that takes a higher precedent. Then that will take precedence, something else will be adjusted. But that's the meaning of that. So Krishna does this perfectly. So we see here as the girls were very happy. Like that, he took care of it, everything very nicely. And we see in each and every of his dealings, everybody's satisfied because it's so perfect. Right? Does that make sense? Even Shishupal is happy. You don't get a better enemy than Krishna. Right? So he wants to see him like that, then he's there. Others might be, I'm tired today, I don't want to, you know, harass you. Like that, you know? You know, wouldn't you think? You know, you have somebody who's sworn enemy of yours, they never talk to each other, never look at each other, and then one day the kind guy is looking mopey, walking by, and, hi, Bopabu, you okay today, you know? And then walks off. You would think, what's going on here? What happened? Where's our relationship? You know? Like that. So Krishna's always there, ready with club in hand and some insulting words. And, you know, so even they're satisfied. Right? He didn't come up, my dear Kamsa, you know, please, you know, you're giving everybody trouble and I want you to step down off your throne here and come out into the assembly here. No, he just dragged him by his hair. You know, it matches. So like that. Okay. Any questions or comments or... something or nothing or yes. It's not respectable. You have to be like a man. It's not okay. Of course. Why would the women push the men to be more feminine? Okay. See, it's because of shyness, the woman leaves it to the man. The man is supposed to be the, how you say, these terms work nicely when you look at it as you put it into the poetic light of the interaction between the, you know, husband and wife, or, you know, the boy and the girl is like a battle, right? You know, when they do it in those poetic things, because it's already established on that proper interaction and everything, and then the chivalry will come on top of that for some fun, for some spice. So, therefore, the terms used then don't necessarily come across as nice. So we use aggressive or audacious. Like that. But in other words, the boy is basically, if we want to put it into more, you know, oops, something about this water. Proactive, let's say, you know, a more neutral. So they expect him to be proactive. Because the environment is necessary, means rasa is necessary. To have rasa, you have to have place and circumstance and time, right? It means if you don't have the right place, it's at the wrong time, the wrong circumstances, rasa won't happen, what you want. Some rasa will happen, but what you want. So it's very important to establish these things. So that's existence, right? Anything that's an entity, an identifiable entity, is the field. So that's existence. But that's not where the woman gets the pleasure. It only when there's attraction to something in here, like we see here, their eagerness, then joy and shyness, these things, then it starts to work, because you operate the field. Right? Men can exist in a field, right? But women can't. They have to interact with the field, so some rasa is obtained. So to do this, then it's expected that the boy will understand, so he'll make those moves. And if he doesn't, then, you know, pleasantly here or there, she'll make some move to start it. You know, the punks are sitting on the corner, so then the girl will walk by, you know, chewing her gum and, you know, swinging her purse and whatever it is she's doing. That will catch their attention because all they've been doing is talking about, you know, the new motorcycle or something. They didn't even notice her. So she has to, she already walked by on the other side of the street. She had to come back, go around and go by closely. Then they notice, you know, then it's, oh, hey, you know, and they start with whatever it is that they do. So, but it wasn't that she wants to be forward like that. They should have noticed when she walked on the other side of the street. Right? She's already done her part. She's already dressed. She's already this. She's already that. Now it's the man's turn. But if the men don't do it, the woman has to have the field. Because if you notice, what they're talking about is just about establishing the field. Having a position, having facility, having money, having power. It's all field. And that to them is dead matter. So ultimately, even they take that aggressive role, they'll be unsatisfied. They can't do it. They just can't. You don't see 60-year-old career women. They already got married. They just don't have. You see 60-year-old men doing that, but not women. They'll do it young, till they're 40. At some point, they just, rasa has to happen. I've got the fields, now still nothing's happening. So they'll change the field, they'll find someone to operate the field with. Right? Does that make sense? So what it is that the women are trying to do is create, invoke masculinity from the men. That's what they want. But the words that they'll use in that are going to be that cuts them down. They're going to attack the field. They're going to, because the field is where they get the thing from. But because of the nature of shyness, inherent, hardwired, they won't say it exactly. They'll say it directly, indirectly through someone else. Right? Does that make sense? Yes, no. Let's say, I don't like to cover my head. So I'm going to champion a rule that no unmarried girls have to cover their head. But am I championing the rule also that all married women must cover their head? That goes together. If you're saying the Vedic, they don't cover their head until they're married, that means if they're married, they always cover their head. Right? Like if I say the sun is out, it's not dark. Or the sun's gone, it's dark. They go together. Right? But I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to say, I don't like to cover my head. I'm going to point it out. All these others, why they have to cover their head? This is fanatic. Does that make sense? So it'll always be done like that. Saying something direct is very hard. Like we see in the example of Devayani describing to her father what is her problem. She only gets it out in about a 5-second statement. That's all. And then they have to go back into the emotional, the experience of it. Right? So if they're smart, if they know, because sometimes they can't figure out what's wrong. So if they know, then they'll stay it so the man's on the same page so that he can commiserate with them. If they don't, then he'll be sitting there for as long as they're talking until he figures it out, and then hopefully he'll be able to do that. So what they're trying to do is kickstart it. And it's just like a car. A car's not running. You get out and you push. But how long will you push? Then the man thinks, hey, this is great. I'm being served. It's so nice. I'm doing all these things. Yeah, you know. And then they think that's it. But in it, there's no rasa. I'm being served. Where's the reciprocation? I'm the man. I'm the lord of the house. They're doing for me. I feel great. That means you feel great in your existence. The male can do that. But the point is you're with a female to interact. So they can't appreciate your existing in, doing nothing. Because even the kid who does nothing is doing a lot of smiling, a lot of cuddling, a lot of, you know, cute movements and noises, and they're dependent. So they're actually doing a lot. right? Maybe not economically or other things, but rasa-wise a lot. So if a man just exists, then they're going to stop pushing. And they're going to go out and get it themselves, because it's from the field that you'll get the things. But they're not going to say it's the things I want. So they're going for the feel. I go for the position, I go for this and that. It's not the position, it's what others are going to say. Right? Like we see in the previous verse, Satyabhama wanted the Parijata tree. Right? Because for that, then it's going to be a nice thing you can sit under, nice flowers, so many things. But then, so Krishna gets it because his wife said. Right? But that's out of devotion, reciprocating bhakti. Indra then comes out, you know, Lord of Heaven, this is wrong, human being stealing the Parijata. Why? Because his wives told him to. Right? Their position. What is it? A human being will also have a Parijata? I am a demigoddess. I did a lot of work to get in this position. A lot of austerities, yajnas. I gave a lot of money away I could have spent on jewelry. But I gave it away. Now I'm here. I'm going to enjoy it. Who are these guys going to enjoy it? They just come away and take the tree away? What is this? Right? So then, because of that, Indra's out there with his thunderbolt making an idiot himself. Right? He didn't understand, no, here's God. It is his tree anyway. Right? But we see is behind is that something has to happen. They won't do it directly. And if you ask, the women will be telling Indra, this is not right, they're humans, why they're taking something that belongs to the demigods. They're not going to say, we don't want to lose our status that a human being doing nothing has the Parijata tree and we work so hard to get it. That they will not say. They can't say. You can't expect them to say. But that's another form of shyness. They can't function without it. Otherwise, why did it pick these three qualities? Could have picked something else. You understand? So, therefore, when the men, getting back to it, that was often on your point, is so the woman has said something, cut the man to shreds about, you know, his position. So for the man, he interprets it as existence. But for the woman, there's no such thing as just existence. Existence is to create rasa. Does that make sense? So what she's meaning by saying, oh, you're lazy and you just sit around and just do this and that, that's not what she's saying. What she's saying is the interaction that we're having based around this, that's not happening. But they can't say it. Every 3 months maybe they can say it. For 2 seconds. Take it seriously when they do. It's reality. But otherwise, then they can't. It's this way they're designed. So then, that's what they're trying to do. So when it's a matter of when the women hit them with these things, the men are supposed to respond back in a proper masculine way, not the I'm the tough guy, because that's still existence. He's existing as a useless, now he's existing as even more annoying. He's useless and annoying. Before he's just useless. Right? So that's not actually what they're looking for, but that they won't say. The words that they'll use will always be that of attacking the field, which the man identifies as himself, means they're attacking me. They're not attacking you. They're attacking that you're not interacting with them. That's what they're attacking, because existence doesn't mean anything to them, right? You know what I'm saying? You can't attack something that you don't have a concept of. So therefore, even though they use the words, because to them, house means what you can do in the house. Man, house means a possession. Right? Something you got there, you got a mortgage on it, you know, this and that, and you got to maintain it and this and that. But for the woman, it's the prestige, it's what you can do with it, the family, the friends, you know, your own pleasure and just how you set it up, aesthetics. That's what it means. Right? So, even though they use those words, because nouns means the thing, but women themselves are verbs. Therefore, even though they're using the term, it's still meaning it's a verb converted into a noun. Right? While the man can think pure noun, or separate what it's doing from the rasa that it gains from it. I can say, this will do this. But for a woman, means this will do this, means the experience of doing that. or of getting that. But the man can look at it that way. So that's the difference. So that's where the sensitivity of the man is important. So when they overlap on Abhideya, the Sambandha and the Prayojana overlap at Abhideya, that means the man has to be sensitive. Woman's already sensitive. Right? And he has to maintain his position. He can't lose his identity. Women don't want them to lose their identity. But to get them motivated, then they will attack that identity. Does that make some sense? So that's what's going on. You know? If the men would act nice and behave as gentlemen and properly take care, then that works. But that doesn't mean, okay, properly take care and put them in a box again and it's just existence. No, it means take care as they are, who they're in their nature, like Krishna expanded for each one. Yes. Oh, at what? Okay, okay. At what point does it? Okay. Okay. Yes. Self-content. Self-content. Okay. What's the difference between? No, I don't believe it. Of course. Yes, that's the point. Okay, so it's a little complex, but what's the difference between Atmaram, or self-satisfied, and a couch potato? Right? And what is the balance between the Atmarama and the wife who is not? And her displeasure at his Atmarama-ness. Right? And also then, third point was, at some point does this start to change, that the Grihastha starts to, you know, transform itself eventually into the vanaprastha element, you know, or just that element, is just the maturity in it. How does that factor in? Okay. We'll try to start from one place and see if we can catch them all. Basically, you could say, well, I have to look it up. I couldn't yesterday, but the gopis bring up this point to Krishna. This is their doubt. After Krishna disappeared, then they have a doubt about Atmarama. And they give three kinds of Atmaramas. Maybe if someone remembers. But there's the one who's self-satisfied, who doesn't need, but out of kindness interacts. So that will actually that'll answer your Grihastha Vanaprastha element. It will also answer your Atmarama and dissatisfied at Atmarama. The second is that they'll interact because they want something. The third is they only interact, they get something, but won't reciprocate. Right? The other one will reciprocate because they want something, but they're grateful that you've done for them, they'll do for you. I scratch your back, you scratch mine. But it's a, you know, properly done, you know, how you say, back scratch there. The other one is that there's Atmarama, they're self-centered, they do what they want, they don't care about the other one. That's the couch potato. So that one, they can't relate to at all. Because he's only doing his own thing without considering others. Then you have the person that does reciprocate for services rendered and vice versa. So that they can relate to. It's businessy, but it works. And basically, it will be finessed. The business side of it will be finessed because Ras is needed. Everyone will just drop that aspect, you know, because you have to function, right? But the Atmarama, the third one, what Krishna is, that's the best position. That's where you get the best, is that you're self-satisfied, so there's nothing you need to gain from it. So the only thing to gain from it is the satisfaction of the other party. So you reciprocate according to their nature. That's what Krishna does. So that's the perfect manifestation of the male. So that's given as the ideal. So in it, then this shows how the one goes to the other. The young grihastha is the mutual back scratching. The mature grihastha, he just takes care of the wife as she needs. He has nothing to gain from it. So externally, it will look exactly the same. But internally, it's night and day. You know? But externally, it won't. And for the woman, it doesn't matter. Because the interaction is there. Because if there's interaction, here's something that will give a very interesting point, just going back. And hopefully we'll remember how to get back to this point without... is we always look at this sambandha abhideya prayojana as sambandha abhideya prayojana. We look at it from, you know, how you say? Perpendicular. But in actuality, what's going on is you're looking at it in linear. The male looks at it sambandha, where is his position? He gets attracted, you know, sambandha meaning sankarshan, he gets attracted in sambandha, that's prajumna. He sees the woman, that's prayojana, then he comes back and does something to get them there. Right? But it's very clear. He exists, he clearly sees the women. Right? Very clear. And, you know, whether it's good or bad, he sees the woman. Right? She's either nice or he's got all kinds of other choice phrases. But he sees her. But now if we reverse it and look at it from the feminine side, is the feminine... means their existence is the taste of rasa. That's based upon the operation of a field. So if the field isn't being, if rasa is not being obtained, that technically for them means the field doesn't exist. You know what I'm saying? So as soon as there's insensitivity on the man's part, it in the abhideya it clouds and they can't see the sambandha. You know what I'm saying? So that's why for the male, if the abhideya doesn't go right, it's very annoying and very painful. And then he has to decide whether he wants to do this or not. Right? But for the woman, as soon as there's a problem in the abhideya, the existence is not there anymore. So that's why immediately they become mental and doubt the relationship and everything and use all those terminologies when the man is perfectly committed. Is because they can't see the relationship. Because relationship means it's creating an experience that they can feel. That's why when you're sitting in one room, perfectly satisfied, but not being insensitive, ignoring them, but you're just being, you're in a state of existence, and they're there, they can't see the relationship. So as long as they're busy relating with someone else, that's fine. But the nanosecond, or let's say the split nanosecond, that the attention turns away from the other thing to the man, at that point he has to simultaneously come out of the Atmarama and interact. Or let's say externally out of the Atmarama. Ideally he remains in it and then reciprocates. You understand? So as long as they're busy, the man's busy, can be busy separately. But if she's not busy, then he's got to be creating, operating that field so she gets experience. It's just like the fish has to be in water. Right? And if it's not in water, then it can't function. So it's like that. You know, you're reading your book, they walk in the room, that you can't finish the sentence. You just look up, and depending upon the look on her face, you either smile or keep sober or whatever it is, it's not going to, you know, get you nuked, and it's going to, you know, make the relationship work. And it's just got to be set in the mind that as soon as that's there, I just put the bookmark. I can find the sentence. I'll read the other half a sentence, you know, later. So, because that time it took to read the half a sentence will have taken you 3 seconds, right? Practically, logically, I finished 3 seconds, then we reciprocate. But that 3 seconds can cost you 3 hours. So if you're really intelligent,
I'll wait 3 hours to find out, you know, what happened in the book. You know, at least that's got some possibilities, but 3 hours of a knockdown, drag out fight, no, that's less, you know, inspiring. You know what I'm saying? So that is that thing. It's like, does that make sense? Like a UPS, an online, it means it's charging. But as soon as the current goes, it switches. So the better it can switch, then you don't lose your, you know, your data. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole, that ability to do that. So that's what Krishna does. So what the gopis are saying is, you didn't do that. You walked off, left us flat. You were insensitive. Where's our relationship? So what kind of Atmarama are you? You're God, you're Atmarama, but which one? So he had to prove that he was the third one, that he's simply reciprocating. It was simply to increase their love for him, because they didn't appreciate the status of Radharani to the degree they should have to be able to fully take part in the rasa dance. Because Krishna's pleasure with Radharani is the expansive thing. They add to that. So if they didn't understand her position, they themselves aren't going to appreciate the depth of the rasa at the rasa dance. So even for them it's beneficial. Right? So therefore he's doing this, because they're still sadhakas. They haven't attained prema yet. Right? In this they will. But we, as we remember, is this day is when they went from being sadhakas in lower stages of bhava right straight through to prema. You know, the ones that went went through. The ones that didn't, they got to the next position and then went through at the next rasa dance. But it was a very major crossover for the sadhakas into prema. You know, the bhava bhaktas, you know, from shravana dasa into the apan dasa into sampati dasa, like that. So it was some very major stuff. So then they're satisfied, and as soon as they're satisfied, the existence is there. And the relationship is there, so the excitement comes back. In other words, Prajumna comes back, that because they don't see the stuff, they see Prajumna. That's the interaction of the male and female, that him in the position of stuff then sees her. Right? That's how it works. Or let's say this way, you know, for you. You know what I'm saying? Like that. Then they say it's there. That's why you've told them, yes, you have appreciation or everything's going to be fine, and sometimes that works and sometimes it doesn't, because they're not convinced. So to that degree that they feel the field is lost, to that degree you have to prove it. And so therefore, they push, and if you just take that, because existence can take anything, it's only false ego can't, then they're convinced how big the field is. In fact, the field now gets better if you've reproved it. A reproven field is better than the field was before. If you have gone through the process of re-establishing the relationship after a disappointment or disagreement, it's better than it was before. Right? So that's why also Krishna creates these things with the devotees. If you don't, then it'll be worse than before. But if you do, it will be. Because then the field is seen, it is clear, the vision, so they see from their position through the operation, and that, then it'll come back to operating. But does that make some sense? So we've defined now the difference between the couch potato and the Atmarama. Then of the Atmarama, then what is his position in, as he matures and is more established in that satisfaction, how does he still operate with the wife in that? Because according to our old definitions, that means the more you go, the less you pay attention. But actually it means, because now you don't have anything to gain from it, you can pay attention even better, and you can still maintain that sense of satisfaction. Well, before it was, you had something to gain, so the mode of passion would come up and drive you, force you to do it. But now, you're not forced to do it, you just know that it's there, she's doing so much for you, then it's like Krishna. The devotees do so much for him, therefore he does like, so they do so much. So if you do, but it always starts from the male. Female wants to serve Krishna, but he has to create the facility first. Right? So, does that make sense? He blew on the flute. Right? He waited for the autumn moon. Right? The full moon. You know, so he did all that. Then, now they're going. Does that make sense? So, in other words, never take it that they do something first. No, the man has to do first. They'll reciprocate that. And once something's been reciprocated, the man appreciates that. Don't go back into existence mode. Otherwise, what they've done back is the, in their vision, the just balance of what you've done for them. Right? You did something and then you come back, they cook some special meal or did like that. Don't think now it's going to be every night the special meal. No, that was, that one meal balanced what it was. Or it was something really great, you might get three out of it. But don't expect a fourth. Right? So unless something's done, again, it won't come again. So it's always reciprocal. That's the thing. You have to work. That's why the brahmachari, if he's active and dynamic and not lazy, he will be an excellent grihastha. But if he's a lazy brahmachari, then it'll be so painful as a grihastha. Because as a brahmachari, you have to work, but you only have a temple commander who's going to call you a few choice words and then walk off, right? And leave you, you know, as you are. You know, he'll bruise your ego, but he'll leave your emotions alone, right? But the woman, besides the ego, then, she's got the emotions there. So it's does that make sense? So it's much. Is that answer the three? Is that okay? Is that okay? Yes. Uh huh. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, okay, so. Okay, you know the bamboo can't break. Someone has their habits. One, you can change habits by practice. That's the Vedic educational process, is Shravana Manana Nidhi Dhyasana. It means you hear, you contemplate and practice, then you realize. So it's only through practice, but you have to have the knowledge to practice it. Okay? So, but it's hard to practice unless you have the knowledge. So that means, but that must be, there must be an interest to know. So the actual thing, what you're trying to do in education is generate an interest in learning. You understand? So the point is not that they don't know. It's a matter of interest that they should know. In other words, unless they see the benefit, why they'll change. How would they change it for the other person? How would you help the other person? How would you help the other person that doesn't understand? Is by finding the right time to explain what's the benefits. Like that. Because you can only do it through knowledge, so it's a long process. The other element is that's why in the Vedic culture you know very clearly who the other person is, which is sometimes hard to do yourself. You find out from others, right? That's why traditionally parents would arrange the marriages, because traditionally also parents knew the kids the best. Nowadays they may or may not, but before they did. So therefore they can, with a very clear thing, look at it. Because it's the little things that are going to drive you nuts, not the big things. Right? So therefore, before stepping into a relationship, it should be clear what you're stepping into. So if you have somebody who is, tried and true, card holding, flag weighing, macho male, then unless you're willing to put in a lot to go through that and spend many years, that's what you get. So then you have to be the one that adjusts. You understand? Even though it should be the other way around, but you're going to be the one that has to adjust. Because they can only adjust how much one they can and how much you can put in. Right? With devotional service, as someone is interested in devotional service, you cross beyond the weaknesses of the conditioned nature that you can change something that may not be able to be changed if they're not devotees. What would take, let's say, many, many lifetimes can be done in one lifetime with a devotee, but that's only because of their humility and tolerance and all those things. Otherwise, it's not. Because it's being, you know, the man being snubbed by the woman so many times and decides it's easier to, you know, call home or be home on time. Right? Because otherwise he has a million reasons why it's more important for the work and getting the money and doing other things and moving up in society and, you know, very practical stuff, because the lady likes the facilities, likes the money, likes the position he's in, and that's how he keeps it. Right? You know, so does that make some sense? You understand? So in this case, then you have to look at it. That's if you know. If you don't know and you find yourself in the position, that's another discussion. Means then you have to look at it and figure out how much you can help them change and work with that. That's what you got. That's all you got. That's what you have to work with. So at some point, somebody has to surrender the situation. Right? So if both parties are doing this, it makes it easier. But if not, if one party's doing it, it can get done. Would we call that a sacrifice? Yes, because that's what human life is, a sacrifice. It's a devotional sacrifice. Okay, it becomes a devotional sacrifice. It's a sacrifice. Sacrifice is always good. It becomes a devotional sacrifice when you see it's for the benefit of the Krishna consciousness of the persons or the situation to do that. It means the person is on their own. And they're distracted because instead of thinking about Krishna, they're thinking about family life. So by getting married, now that family life can now be engaged in Krishna's service. But unless it's family life, how can it be engaged? Right? If you want to fight, then you want to fight for Krishna, then, you know, fighting with your wife all day and all night, I wouldn't think would be service. Right? You want to fight, you know, become, you know, a bodyguard for Krishna, or, you know, somebody like that, you know, that can go out and do something, you know, like Arjuna with fought for Krishna. Go, you know, like that. But the other won't be, so it's not going to get anywhere. So it has to be that it's according to the rules. So if you're going to get involved, this is what it means. You don't want to do this, that's fine. Don't get involved. Remain a brahmachari. Right, remain a vanabrahma, like this. Just remain that. Don't get married, because getting married means this, nothing less. So, but you know, depending upon it, one has to make do with what one's got. Just like the lady wants the world, but she doesn't have. She's got a one-bedroom house, so that's what she's got. She learns to live with it. You know what I'm saying? So that sacrifice has to be there, but if you're doing it based on pleasing Krishna by engaging the interaction in Krishna's service, then it becomes purified. Like that. Because it's come from Krishna, it can be engaged in Krishna's service. Right? Point is recognizing that it's come from Him. Right? Because these girls understand Krishna's platform of purity, therefore they come to that platform of purity. Right? So then therefore they're dealt with according to full rights. Does that make sense? Is that okay? Yeah? You had something? Would it be immediately superficial? Uh-huh, okay. So, yeah. The point is since the soul is feminine by nature, wouldn't it be artificial for him to play the masculine role? Yes, it is. But so is marriage. So is having children. So is getting money. So is anything that you do in this material world. It's absolutely an illusion. So, since you want to be in the drama, and you want to be Krishna or Balaram or a cowherd boy, shouldn't you know your lines and dress right and use all the right movements and everything? And then, does everybody say it's a nice drama or not? Yes or no? Would it lend itself to failure if we are struggling against the tide? It could, but then you also have to understand the masculine drive of the women is also artificial. Because they're here trying to be God, and God's male. So trying to control the situation for one's own enjoyment is also totally and absolutely artificial. That's where all the problem comes. It's when the men don't play the masculine, you know, drama role and say all the right lines, and the women don't play the feminine and say all the right lines. Yes. It's a role, yes, but it's a real role, just as much as if I cut your finger, it hurts. So just as much as he plays the role and he does his part and he's not off with another lady, your life is nice, and he's off with another lady, you're dead. So does the female, because the female wants everything to go around her. Because that's the problem, is the male doesn't. The male just will exist on his own without going around the female, and that annoys the female because she can't control it because of the Purusha Bhav. It goes both ways. See, in this, the real solution is not trying to find the problem of the other. The point is trying to find what they should do. If you've noticed, this whole discussion has been what the men are supposed to do. Okay. Of course. So that's a problem, isn't it? So if they become more masculine, then it would be less of a problem, no? So therefore, they're as you defined in the beginning, they're artificially being male or their soul would make your life a lot better, wouldn't it? So therefore, that's why in this, the pranipata is such an important thing. Pranipata means submissive inquiry, means I contemplate, means I think, means I apply. So that's why then we look at it, well, what is going on? Then from that we can gain the knowledge, then I can apply it, and then I can get the result. So that's why in Gita it doesn't use Shravana Mana Nididhyasana. It uses interest, inquiry, and service. It's the same thing, but it's using the principle behind what makes them all work. Right? So in here, then, it's the mentality that's important. So what we're talking here is role-playing. Because ultimately the role-playing, that's why it said past times. Because ultimately, even if you want to take it, we're all expanded from God, so we're just interacting. He's just interacting with himself. But because he is conscious, everything coming from him is conscious. So in one sense, it is a separate entity. But in another sense, it's not. Right? We see the difference because we're the separate conscious entity. Just like the son sees the difference. Father doesn't. So God doesn't see the difference between us and him. Right? So then, in this, the importance is understanding the position and then operating it. Then it works. We can never understand male, because it's not us. But there's certain things we have to understand, so it's there. To understand that Krishna can exist on his own without expanding and be perfectly happy, we have to accept, we like it or not. So in the same way as the reflected nature and the masculine principle here in this world is men, as you know, as pointed out before, can do something, be perfectly satisfied, and the woman's not involved. And that makes no sense to them. Right? So, but when it's brought up, then they'll, knowing that it doesn't make sense to woman, then they'll play the other side. Of course, but my point is here. I think we'll get somewhere if you can actually say what it is, just in a few words, what it is actually you want to get to. Yeah. We've already said that. This whole discussion has been how they can stop doing that. Does it matter? In a marriage, how superficial is it? So it has to be deep enough to be as deep as a marriage is superficial. But wait a minute, wait, stop here. I did not acknowledge this. See what I'm saying is, if you want to make a point, make it without being at my expense. Yes, no, but I'm just saying. That's why I said, at least directly give us an idea so I know what angle you're coming from. Because right now, you still haven't said really what you're trying to get at. You're trying to say they're equal, and trying to say that there's a certain artifice by the depth that can go. But what's the purpose behind that? What will be proved by that? What will you do with that fact? Mutual respect. Okay. So that's, it didn't come up in today's because it wasn't, because we can, you can go on hours on each point, But the mutual respect, if it's not there, that's the basis of etiquette. Amanina manadena. The respect for someone else. That's the basis on which, why would the man deal with the moment of the woman? That's what's behind why he would adjust his nature to hers. It's only out of respect, because that's who they are, and you want to deal with them, you have to respect that nature and deal with it. Like I want to deal with a dog, I have to respect the dogness of it and deal accordingly, right? They don't like to be scratched on the bottom of their foot, right? Under the chin or, behind the ear. That's where they like it, right? So I have to respect their nature in that to deal with it. So that's why I will make the endeavor to deal in a way that is appreciated by them. Acknowledging and respecting. The problem goes in here is because you have to distinguish between tattva and rasa. The tattva is we're saying that it must be acknowledged, right? Because that's a state of existence. But respect, if you see, by nature means it's dynamic. It means I am respecting someone else. So rasa is there. Don't confuse them. Okay. So, yes, sir.
See, at some point in this discussion, you have to, I think, decide to skip the chat and go to the brain.
Yes.
So, in essence, there's no material solution to a material problem.
Yes, of course.
There's only a spiritual solution.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, be it man, be it woman,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And understanding that you are beyond the bodily plane.
Mm-hmm.
Rupa Goswami says that unless and until you actually go beyond the bodily platform, there can always be fallback.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That has a best definition, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe an unpleasant marriage, maybe fighting, maybe violence.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You have to actually decide, concentrate, and do everything possible to follow this spiritual instruction and make spiritual advancement.
Right.
Only then will there be a solution to any material problem. Marriage is one thing. It's a big problem. But there's many manifold problems.
Yeah. Well, we chose that one because of the verse.
But I'm saying, if what she or anyone wants is trying to find a series of material steps to solve the problem of marriage, be it marriage or any material problem, it's not going to work. It's the fish out of the water syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
So one has to, at some point in Krishna consciousness, actually make some spiritual advancement. And it begins with the understanding that there is a difference between the body and the self. That's the very beginning, of course, the liberation. Mm-hmm. But we cannot underestimate it. Sometimes in the Krishna consciousness movement, I remember we would always make fun of the Brahma platform. You know, the yogi doing that. But actually, it's a very lofty, essential, important platform to which we must come as soon as possible to solve all problems in life. Mm-hmm. So anyway, as I said, at some point in this discussion, I thought we had to separate the chapter. You have to make spiritual advancement.
Yeah.
Or no matter how you try to adjust, it just not going to work.
Yes.
Or it may work for a while, but it won't sustain.
Yes. Is that, are you all heard?
So the best possible thing the man, the husband and wife can do is to actually perfect their chanting right together in a cooperative.
But that cooperative is the rub.
It sounds simplistic.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The cooperative is the rub. Yeah.
And we have to conform to the truth.
Okay.
The truth will not necessarily have to conform to our motive.
Yeah, of course. No, I don't think so you were. Yeah. No, that's okay. Yeah. It means we're also basing all this, because in the verse it said here is because they're attracted to Krishna, as that was on the spiritual platform that it's working. We're also taking that in the Bhagavatam class, it's all devotees, so spiritual advancement is their point. What we're dealing with here is the reluctance of the living entity who, in his enthusiasm to be God as a conditioned soul, is not actually aware or conscious or sensitive to the needs of the other living entities who are also here trying to be God. So, pointing out that in this, trying to get one's position or one's identity, it's all based on being a devotee of the Lord. So that puts it into the proper, that perspective. But since you are dealing with a marriage, you are dealing with the interaction of the body and mind. And that is there is a hard science on how that works. And so until we accept that science exists, then we won't be able to learn the science and we won't be able to engage that in Krishna's service. Though it is secondary to direct devotional service like chanting and hearing chanting and remembering, which is the drive behind it. And it is only because we hear and chant that we will be able to do the other thing. Because unless you're born in those kind of families where it naturally comes, it's not going to happen. Not in one lifetime. It's going to take many lifetimes. But by the chanting process, we bring that up so it comes up only because inspired by the fact of seeing that as a community, we don't always aren't doing the greatest in these kind of social affairs. So we're pointing out the sciences behind it that can make it work if you see it, like you're saying, in the proper Krishna conscious light. Because perfecting it on its own, who cares? Even if you become the perfect husband or wife, who cares? If you don't go back to Godhead, then it doesn't matter. But at the same time, is people do have social interaction just for that. That satisfaction of having a friend, having a parent, having a child, having husband and wife, having someone junior, having someone senior, people you just appreciate. It's a conditioned need of the living entity until he replaces it with pure spiritual relationships. So then, these are, how you say, aspects of the science on how you're using Naishkarmya. Right? In the Bhagavad Gita, it talks about performing one's duty connected to the Lord. So in here, we were emphasizing the importance of acknowledging that if one understands one's duties and accepts them, it will make it all that much easier to be Krishna conscious because you won't get distracted by them. And it will make it all that easier to make those mundane relationships Krishnaized. Is that?
I understand it, but what I meant is that even a material process will not work without a spiritual touch.
Yes, of course. So we will take that as because I had taken it for granted that was understood, by the audience, but because we've been pontificating now for over an hour and a half without referring to that point, that it could easily be missed, just as we see Narad Muni pointed out to Vyasadeva that, you know, the excellence of the Mahabharata in all its splendor still didn't necessarily get across the point that Krishna was God and the Pandavas were his devotees, though that is the Mahabharata. But in trying to describe the side points that make it work, then it sometimes when it gets distracted. So this has been, we thank you, this has been brought up before by the... Yes, there's no fault or error in repetition. Okay. But, okay. And then, yes, so now moving on with that, we'll just finish up a few minutes. So the respect means it's an element of the dynamic relationship, right? So that means there has to be respect as, like he's pointing, as devotees, practicing devotees, and of whatever one's position is, according to one's gross and subtle nature. Respecting that, then one deals through sacrifice in interacting appropriately. But if there's no respect, you see, relationships, shantaras means there's something I respect about the other person. There's something I appreciate. Right? But it's generally called appreciation because it's passive, it's not doing anything. But as soon as that appreciation turns to respect, then there's servitorship. When that deepens, there's friendship. That deepens, there's parental. That deepens, there's conjugal. Does that make some sense? So the basis is that. So if two persons don't have an appreciation, then they can't really have respect. That means they can't have any rasa. I mean, of course, there is all these the side ones of what Bhoyanaka and all these others of, you know, horror and fear and these things. But yes. As like a personal, impersonal experience. Okay. Yes, there is. There is. But the point is why we're putting on this is we see the daughter is under the father. Then she's under the husband, then she's under the son. That means her feminineness is dependent upon masculinity. So if you don't have a real male, a woman can't be a real female. So that's why the Shastras always talk he. Because if they get it right, the women can perform their duties and have experience their mentality very easily. But if the men don't have it right, nobody can get it right very easily. You understand? It means it's just like something has to start first. I have a glass, I have some water, I have a lemon. Something has to happen first. I have to put the glass on the table. Then there is the existence of the possibility of holding something. Then I have to pour the water because that's the main element of the. Then I can start adding my lemon, my sugar, my salt, my whatever it else. Right? So it has to start somewhere. So in this is what you're saying is correct, is that we're saying this because from this then it can be operated. But if what happens is as we saw in that question over this side, is that the man couldn't understand the difference between existence and rasa and why the women don't have a problem with the men just existing. Because they have their need, they have to be themselves, they have to, you know, recharge their own batteries. So that's a problem. Because along with is that this description, because we're describing science, so it's technically it's sambandha, it's just existence. That within this you perform the relationship. But just out of the evil of necessity, tattva is a masculine principle. Because it is what is the relationship. Not what's the attraction, what's that. So it's just the existence of the elements. So until that's there, until we understand that there is a God, then we can start to understand I have a relationship with Him. So when we understand that there is a science, then we can understand, okay, where do we fit, how do we operate it? Why are we trying to get it right? I would look in the mirror and ask yourself that. Why are you trying to get it right? Why do we... It's just... Oh, okay. So... Okay, so do you think that the depth of things that I was discussing were so superficial? Okay, so because that was the example I gave to the person, is because in describing the tattva, then the actual application of that tattva in rasa that would generate an experience is not seen, it clouds it, therefore one's existence becomes... Or it means one becomes insecure, right? If there's lack of sensitivity, one becomes secure. That's Rupa Goswami also. Means also just for information's sake, this point, all this point I'm doing, this is all based on one verse of Rupa Goswami, where he says, when the attraction deepens, then it crosses reason, right? This is the point that we're having here. It becomes attachment. Right? Because when there's attached, reason doesn't, logic doesn't follow. When attachment deepens, there's consideration. And when consideration is there, there's confidence. Right? And when confidence is deep, then there's infatuation. So, therefore, if the man at any point is not considerate, immediately the doubt goes back to its source, which is attachment. So then the woman immediately thinks you're not attached. And if you're not attached, that means it throws it to the other side of reason, means you may not even be attracted. Otherwise, if you're attracted, it would come across to attachment. But you're dealing very logically, you're telling me, no, it's like this, and we should do... So you're dealing in reason, that means you're not dealing in attachment. That means maybe you're not even attracted. That means what's our relationship? So all what I've discussed, this is all just because it was, you know, a verse from Rupa Goswami was quoted before, just to let it know that this science is gotten from him, and this whole thing of preliminaries, the action itself, and the other thing of conclusion, that was also Rupa Goswami. So we're just basing it on that. So in here, what's happened is because we were emphasizing so much, because what we're doing is the ladies naturally are comfortable with this. It's the men that we're trying to convince. So in taking all this time to explain it to them, it may have lost where you fit into it. Not the fit in. Okay, that was also a masculine definition. It means what would be the experience of it, what would be the gain from it, what would be generated from it. So if she's a person that, well, here, let's put it like this. The woman is here. Now we said here, there were princesses. That's a category, right? Then, doing that, there are, of the category, there are 16,100 princesses. So Krishna then, as his Swayam Prakash, expanded as 16,108 princes. To be with 16,100 princesses. Then, within it, because each one was a unique individual, therefore, then the vilas, the vaibhav manifestation, then is expanded. But if you don't know it's a woman, how do you know what to manifest? So unless you know the science, it doesn't get there. So what we're saying, it gets there. So to say that what we're saying here is not how it does, it's... Let's just put it this way. What we're talking here, if you ask the men, this is the keys on how they can deal properly with the women and treat them as individuals. But the point is, of course, for the man, that's important because that knowing how to do it, what's the technique is important. But for the women, it's not the technique, the experience from operating the technique that's important. So therefore, if we're just talking technique, it will look like something. It's just like in a manual. You open the first page. It talks about, let's say, the keyboard. You know, But there's other parts of the computer, but they're on other pages. So this discussion here has only been on that. Yes, but the body that you're marrying is not a feminine soul. It's a piece of dead matter made out of earth, water, fire, air, and ether. Bus. Your body, the soul, is, you're not marrying the soul. You're marrying the body. Yes, you're engaging with another soul, that it could be any relationship. So because it happens to be husband and wife in this, therefore it has to look like that externally. Yes, but the point is what you also missed is, why does it say pastimes? Because it's all role-playing, even in the spiritual world, where you're dealing with 108% substance. No fluff. Oh no, it's real. He won't do it unless he knows there's a person there. He can't do it if he's thinking like that. That's the whole point. He can't do it. Science can only be applied as an art. Right? Art means you have to be dealing with the individual. I know the science of music. I can go to a music recital of the best musician in the world, and I can point out faults because I know the science. But if you told me to get up there and sing, I can't do it because I don't know the art. Right? So the science is the first step, and still the science is that you can't apply the art, because otherwise it's so bewildering. Right? It's just like you have something that's called chaos theory. Right? Now it's called fractals. Right? They noticed that when water pours off the edge of something, that it just churns and goes like that. So they just said it's chaos. It has no mathematical function. They've been working at it for generations and using supercomputers and that. About, I think, 2 years ago or 3 years ago, they came up with actually the formula of chaos. How that water or air or anything is working. And it looks like it's absolute, but there's a formula behind it. So once the male knows that there's a formula on which the feminine nature works, then he can start looking for the principle behind it and stop dealing with the externals and actually deal with the person behind it. But until he knows that, he'll always deal with what comes out of her mouth, and that's it. He won't know that she's saying that because there's something deeper behind it as a person that she's trying to express. So that's what we're trying to deal with here. Does that make sense? Okay. No, it's just trying to make clear. So it didn't come out here because that itself has been another whole topic. We could go on the whole thing, is how that drama is played. What are the plays? What's the mentality of that? Because even Krishna is pastimes, because they're not separate from them. He's not any, but they do it. It's for fun because it's rasa. Rasa doesn't have a meaning. It doesn't have to have a meaning. Say, it doesn't have to have a reason. Right? Tattva does have a reason. Because of this, then there's this, because there's, you know, everything does. But rasa doesn't. It's just the experience itself is enough. Therefore, when you get down to it, you have to apply it. It doesn't, unless you're dealing with the individual, you can't do it. Because even you want to say, even let's say the guide goes, okay, I know the thing and I know all the words to say. The point is this, the girl will have gotten from that interaction a nice experience. She'll say, oh, I feel this and that. And then he says, don't worry, everything will be okay. And then she'll say, really? And then it'll go on. And then he'll know, okay, great, I got that one. Then it happens next time. And then he goes, don't worry, everything will be all right. And then he says, how will everything be all right? He didn't have a line for that. Right? Because we'll work on it. Okay, then I think, work, interaction. Okay, then it's next time it comes up. Oh, well, you know, everything will be all right. Well, how will it be all right? We'll work on it. It says, well, how are we going to work on it? oh, back to the drawing board again. But there's a principle behind that. If he understands that, then that's actually what she's trying to say. Sometimes it's subtle, sometimes it's very gross, sometimes it's only one point, sometimes it's manifold. But he'll understand that there's a person here who's trying to express themselves. These are the ways that they express themselves. This is actually what they're trying to say. And so, therefore, they've come to me for this relationship. I've gotten involved to reciprocate that relationship. So now it's my business to do that. Right? And because they're very important to me, therefore I do it. Right? The duty is there. Therefore, I'm going to do it even when I don't feel like it. But I'm actually doing it because I feel like doing it. I want to do it. I need to do it. Does that make sense? But the tattva is important because there are moments when you don't feel like doing it. You've had a bad day, and then the husband comes home. You don't feel like smiling, or don't feel like putting your clothes on a little better. But it's done because he thinks women are really nice and look nice and everything like that. And that's why he's approached them, to gain that interaction. And or he's there, he's had a bad day and this and that, his whole world's falling apart, and she comes in all bubbly. He doesn't go, oh, you know, at the office. He goes, oh, what's happening? It goes with that. Because that's how she's approached, and she wants to interact. That's rasa. Rasa means I have a need. I approach somebody and they reciprocate that. And because of that, I'm so grateful that I do that for them. That's relationship. That's companionship. That's respect. That's what makes any relationship work. So we're only explaining it here in the male-female, specifically in the conjugal relationship, because that's where people pay attention. Because, you know, if me working with the cartels, you know, my hand is masculine, it's the support of it, it gives the field of it, the cause of it, these are feminine, but if I don't do it right, it doesn't happen. You know, I'm not getting a really good sound out of this interaction because I don't understand the feminine principle here. But if I understand it, then it goes here, and then I make it work. Right? So, the whole thing behind that is that when I understand that, then I understand actually how relationships function. And since the soul is Satchidananda, Ananda means relationship. Right? Then I know how to actually deal. I can apply this science anywhere. It applies to anything. I'm using a hammer and a nail. It's exactly the same science. It's not different. But because the greatest manifestation of it is between male and female, explained there, you can get the broadest understanding of it, that you can go the deepest into it and apply it in the most places. Because the original rasa is Radha and Krishna. That's Adi Rasa. So all other aspects of rasa with anything has expanded from there. So that's why the shastras will explain it here. Does that make sense? So, but actually, like he's pointing out, Krishna consciousness is the basis, but the mundane science is simply a reflection of the spiritual science of rasa. And it can be applied anywhere. But if I talk about hammering a nail and hammer and nail, a lot of the audience is going to lose it quick. But if you talk male and female, you have the whole audience. It doesn't matter what varna, what ashram. Everybody wants to hear. So that's why the shastras do like that. Does that make sense? But actually, even deeper than this, it's not even how to respect that person. It's how to respect anything. You understand this, you don't step on the ant. Because the ant has approached the road to get to the other side. It didn't approach the road so that your foot can step on it. So therefore, out of respect for the ant, I don't step on it. But most people won't gain it from there. They'll gain it from that they've learned to respect their wife and not bother her. So therefore, they won't bother the ant. Because if I just talk about the ant, okay, maybe I won't step on the ant, but I will on my wife. Right? Because you start with that and it comes down. Does that make sense? So it's just that's just the nature of the explanation. Is that okay? Yeah? Okay, thank you. Okay, so we'll end here. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivrinda ki, Jainatai Gaura Premanandi.